grateful that Jenny gives me the opportunity to do that. And I just want to take a moment and pray before I start. Father, we're just honored to be in your presence today, Father. We're thankful for your Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of each one of us, who is the teacher on the inside of every one of us, who is the encourager and the helper. And Father, I just pray that every person here feels more encouraged than they did when they walked through these doors, senses your love and presence even more than they did when they walked through these doors. Father, whatever they're experiencing today, whether they're on the mountaintop, whether they're in the valley, Father, I just pray that your love, your peace, your hope, your encouragement just bloom and blossom in each one of our lives today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, it's been a great month of messages about bloom, and I love the fact that there's a theme every month. And I love themed messages. Dave never liked theme messages, so every holiday he'd say, "Chris, can you do the message? Because you know you do the theme thing." You know, I love a theme. I love a plan. I love it. You know, give me a word, and I'll come up with something. I'll ask God, "God, what do you want to do with that word?" It just is a great way to spark all kinds of creativity and all kinds of things. And so, anyways. Been a great month of messages on blooming. I also really love how we get to hear so many voices around here. You know, that is a rare and beautiful thing, actually. And it's an unusual thing for churches. You know, I mean, let's face it, most of the time, and we've operated like this for 30 plus years, you know, the church has a pastor, maybe a small pastoral team, and you hear from those people probably 90%+ of the time, right? And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, the Bible talks a lot about we all have something to share. We all have words of encouragement and words of wisdom. And to be able to really practice that and have a model like that is a really beautiful thing. So I personally love that. And I love that we've heard from so many voices about how to be encouraged and challenged to grow. And growing is actually the essence of the word bloom, isn't it? I mean, blooming is a function of growth. It's a part of growth. It's sometimes a culmination of growth. And bloom actually means to flower. It means to flourish. It means to glow. It means to mature into the achievement of one's potential. Just kind of sit on that for a moment. To flower, to flourish, to glow. Have you ever heard of someone that they say, "Oh, she's in the glow of pregnancy. She's just blooming." I mean, that never really happened to me. Pregnancy was not a glowing experience for me. It was obviously a growing experience, but not a glowing experience. But, you know, some people bloom, you know, and those are just little phrases we use that kind of tie into that whole subject of blooming. But it really does mean to glow, to mature into the achievement of one's potential. And we use it to describe beautiful things in life, don't we? Blooming. I was at a wedding recently, a beautiful wedding, and the whole theme of the wedding was wildflowers. It was just lovely. And they passed out these little packets at the beginning of the wedding, and each guest, you know, got a sweet little gift package, and it was a packet of wildflower seeds, and it said, "Love in bloom." And I just loved it. I kept it because I just thought it was so beautiful. And again, just a beautiful illustration of what blooming looks like, all the positive and lovely things it brings to mind. So I have these flowers. Whoops. Some of them are losing their bloom. There's another part of the message today. But some of us are losing our bloom. So I went outside this morning before I got in here. And I, there's all kinds of, you know, Jenny's beautiful wildflower garden out there, all these things we've planted over the years. We've planted lilies. And what are these purple things? Anybody know what those purple things are? Those are fantastic. What? They're not hydrangea. Phlox? Are they phlox? Okay. Some sort of a phlox. I want some of those. I don't know. There's all kinds of things. I don't know what they are. And I think if you look at them carefully, and I kind of did this on purpose, you're going to find some that are in the very beginning stages. There's some buds. Here's a bud that hasn't even yet opened. So that one's in its beginning stages. There are some that are in full bloom. And there are some that are on their, kind of on their last legs. I mean, their blooming is kind of starting to fade out a little bit, but that doesn't mean they won't bloom again, okay? That's just this is the season that they're in, because we have lots of seasons in life, don't we? And there are lots of oh, shall we say, times, and some of these times present a little more challenges. Some of them present something that's full and open. And it's all part of blooming, folks. It's all part of living. And nature, I mean, God created all of this for us, and he created us. And there are so many similarities in nature to our lives, aren't there? I mean, and Jesus, I mean, throughout the Word of God, I mean, the analogies and the similarities and all the different ways that God used nature to describe to us our lives. Because we can see nature, we can see what's happening in nature, and we are actually part of God's creation, part of God's nature as well. So we're going to look today at a little bit of a different angle, perhaps, on blooming. And we're going to look at maybe how it applies to our lives, maybe some of the seasons we're in. Maybe we're in a place right now where we're just starting to bud in some areas. Maybe we're in full blossom. Maybe we're blossoming. Our blossoming is starting to wither a little bit, and we're waiting to bloom again. But let's look at this. So when I first got this thought about blooming, this particular scripture came to my mind immediately, and it probably has come to a lot of your minds as well, but it's 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 8, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. It says, I planted, this is Paul talking, he wrote the book of Corinthians, he said, I planted, Paul planted, Apollos watered, that's another guy, he watered, okay, but God all the while, now I added a little editorial comment here after that. I wrote Selah. Who knows what Selah means? What? Yeah, stop for a minute and think about it. We don't stop and think about it often enough, but I saw this and I thought, man, I need to stop and think about that for a minute. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God all the while. Let's just say that. All the while. All the while. Okay, so planting is going on, watering is going on, and all the while, during all that, all the time, all the while, God was causing the growth. All the while. And you know, that growth, blossoming, blooming, glowing. And we sometimes look at that and go, man, this cannot be growth because this is not pleasant. This is not good. I feel like I'm withering and dying. I feel like I'm fading away. I feel like my blooms are, instead of looking like these beautiful purple phlox, I'm starting to look like this wildflower who is, when I touch it, it crumbles. But God all the while was causing the growth. And then Paul goes on to say that neither he the planter nor the guy that waters is anything but only God who causes the growth. And it goes on to say he who plants and he who waters are one in importance. Okay, that's important. It's important to plant and it's important to water. So they're very important. And they're working toward the same purpose, and each will receive his own reward. However, God is causing the growth all the while. And I started thinking about that a little bit more. And, you know, when I used to read that scripture, I never saw much past the obvious, meaning that, you know, lots of things are planted in us. We all know that there are lots of things planted in our lives, and God brings growth, right? That's true. That's what that says. But there's more to that. It also shows us, I think, and I think this is a really important part of this, is that we can't look at people to cause the growth in us. You know what I mean? We can get planted. We can have things planted in us. People can come along and water those seeds, right? I mean, every time we encourage one another, every time we hear one another, every time we have one of those great moments in our life where we really feel like it's a God moment, maybe we read a scripture, maybe we hear something that just brings something so valuable to us. I mean, those are all plantings and those are all waterings, right? But I can't count on you to make me grow. You can't count on me to make you grow. I can get some planting and some watering of some things from you in my life, but I can't make you grow. God is the one that makes it grow. He's the one that causes the blossoming in our life. It would be dangerous for us to look at people and expect them to make us grow. or to cause the growth in our life. I truly believe it requires us, it requires me, in partnership with God. Okay, there's a definite partnership with God, allowing God to bring all those seeds into full blossom. Right? You know, there's also this thing about flowers and about blooms. And again, there's so many analogies in nature to our lives. And then this is one that has always puzzled me a little bit. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. I remember when Jenny was talking about all the different kinds of fruits and flowers, and some of the seeds are the outside, some of the seeds are the inside. There's a lot of difference. I mean, we have a lot of variety, just like in our lives, there's a lot of variety in us, you know, a lot of each individual personality, and God made each of us specifically designed the way he created us, and we're all a little different, but in many ways, we're all the same. But one of the things that really confuses me is, why do some flowers need deadheaded and some don't? I was out this morning, and I've got some pots of geraniums out in the front of my house, and, you know, actually they're flooded. I mean, you know, as we all know, everything's flooded right now. They're not doing very well because they got too much water. And so I was out there trying to, you know, bring them back to life a little bit, so I'm deadheading them. I don't like to deadhead. I know. Jenny loves to deadhead. I remember in Doreen, for years, Doreen and I worked together for 35 years. We're like best friends and sometimes bicker like an old married couple. I mean, we are like Doreen and I. Doreen's been our friend and co-worker and family for 35 plus years. And every year, as some of you will recall, we would plant pots of flowers all over this place. And so we would, you know, so Doreen, bless her heart, because, you know, she's just that kind of person. She'd go out and buy all these beautiful flowers, and almost every year she'd come back with petunias. And I say, Doreen, I hate petunias. Petunias are beautiful. They're a gorgeous flower, but I hate petunias because if you don't deadhead them regularly, they get really weird. They get leggy, you know, the stems get start coming out, and then the flowers get smaller and smaller, and the stems get longer and longer, and instead of a beautiful full bouquet of flowers, they turn into this leggy, stringy thing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody with petunias? So every year I'd say, Doreen, don't buy petunias, and every year she'd buy petunias. And every year I'd say, Doreen, I'm not deadheading those stupid petunias. I hate to deadhead petunias. Please don't buy petunias. And every year she'd buy petunias. And so finally, after 35 years, I said, Doreen, go out there and deadhead the stupid. I'm not deadhead. Well, I think we finally got the petunia thing worked out. She wanted to deadhead me is what really was going on. And I wouldn't blame her because I thought, you know, really, if I didn't want petunias, I could go buy the flowers myself, right? But anyway, but why do you suppose it is that some flowers need deadheaded and some don't? And so I looked up deadheading because I thought, I don't like deadheading. And I don't want to be deadheaded. That sounds like a terrible process. And deadheading actually, it encourages reflowering. And it directs energy into stronger growth and new flowers. So sometimes the things that we consider to be quite unpleasant, like pulling the top of the head of the flower off, is something that actually brings new growth and new energy and new life into that flower. I'm telling you, there are so many analogies here. If you're listening, there's a lot of stuff going on here that speaks to our life. We're describing our human lives right now, okay? Because it is a process, and no beautiful bloom ever started its life as a flower, right? And we, you know, we look even in the scripture where Jesus talked about, let me find this for you real quick. I just screenshotted it because, you know, that's the way we do things now. We don't actually open our Bible. We just screenshot things. In John 12:24, Jesus is talking. He said, very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat or a flower seed or any type of seed, he used a kernel of wheat as an example here, but it can be any type of seed. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it only remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Whoa. No bloom ever started as a flower. It started as a seed that went into the ground and was covered with dirt, as in dead. And because of the nutrients of the earth and because of the water that springs into life and creates something beautiful, a beautiful flower. But no beautiful bloom ever started its life as a flower. Every flower you've ever seen started as a humble seed that looked nothing like the flower it would become. When this little packet of wildflowers is thrown on the ground, it inside are about 30 or 40 dried up brown seeds that look like they could do nothing. But you throw these babies on the ground and you put some water on them and you get what you've got right out there on the side of the park, on the building right over here by the side of the parking lot. You get this beautiful garden of blooms, and that is a beautiful illustration of our lives. I found this little essay, and I just wanted to read a couple excerpts of it because it was so beautiful and it said it so much more eloquently than I could say it myself. But it said, "No beautiful bloom ever started its life as a flower. None of our lives started our life as a flower. We all started as a seed. No rose started its life with those silky, fiery red petals spiraling around one another. No cherry blossom has ever popped into existence ready to uplift the spirits of all those who pass by. Every flower that you've ever seen started as a humble seed. Every blossom in your life, every bit of blooming, every bit of growth in your life started as a humble seed. The seed was planted deep in the earth. Then via the nourishing darkness of the underground experience, that seed would eventually produce a root, one little shoot that would venture down deeper into the earth." Now there's something. Deeper into the earth rather than coming to the surface. "The root started to multiply its arms, reaching out for more streams of sustenance and more stability for its future incarnation. Eventually, this seed started to grow a shoot with upward trajectory. It grew slowly, sending a part of itself up toward the surface of the earth, eventually breaking through to finally see the light of day." And how many times in our lives have we been in situations where we just wanted to see the light of day? I mean, we felt like we were in the dark, stumbling, groping, grasping for light. I was in the kitchen this morning talking to Dawn. And I was getting my vases and getting ready to go cut my flowers and telling her what I was going to do. And she said, "You know what?" She said, "When I came in this morning," so I was looking at the plants in the window that we planted a couple weeks ago, you know, because this whole month's been about growing and blooming and planting and all the things. And she said, "Did you notice how all of the plants in there are reaching for the sun? So when you go out there this morning, when you leave today, I want you to look at that little row of plants out there, because every single one is reaching toward the sun." And I grabbed one, and the first couple I grabbed when I picked them up, they literally flopped over when I took them away from the sun, because they had reached so carefully toward the sun that they couldn't even stand up unless they were in the sun. They just went, "Whoa." And this one went, "Well," a little bit. But this guy, you can see, you can tell where he was in the window, because the part that shows lots of growth, and it's leaning toward the sun. You know, another great analogy that I probably don't have to explain very carefully, but when we're leaning in to the sun, our growth is healthy and strong. And when we're not leaning in to the sun, we flop, for lack of any more eloquent term there. Okay. So there's this beautiful illustration of what the process of blooming looks like in our life. And another scripture that came to my mind is Galatians 6, 7, and 8. And this is one that we all know. And in the Message Bible, it says that a person that ignores God harvests, it's about reaping and sowing. It's the God will not be mocked, that a man sows that shall he also reap. That's the King James Version. I like to look him up in a little more conversational versions, because sometimes it just, I don't know, feels a little more relevant to us maybe, or somehow we can kind of look at things a little bit differently from a conversational point of view. But the, in Galatians 6, 7, and 8 in the Message says that a person that ignores God harvests a crop of weeds, but the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. And why is it, because as I was thinking about all of this, and I'm looking at the flower garden, and I'm thinking about the blossoming and the growing and the deadheading and the good, the bad, and the ugly, why is it that we so often see the weeds and not the flowers? You know, a couple weeks ago, this was really a lesson to me. A couple weeks ago, Jenny messaged me, and she said, "Did you see the beautiful flowers?" She sent pictures. And I'm like, okay, I've been over to the church like I don't know how many times in the last 2 weeks, and no, I didn't see the flowers. Okay, how did I miss the flowers? You know why I missed the flowers? Because I was focused on the weeds. I was focused on the cracks in the parking lot that have weeds in them. It'd be great if somebody'd spray those. I was focused on the growth, you know, all the beautiful growth out front of all the shrubberies, but I wasn't looking at the shrubberies or the daylilies. I was looking at the weeds. I was so focused on the weeds, I missed the flowers. And what is it about our humanity that tends to focus on the weeds? I suspect when we're hyper-focused on the weeds, we're somehow stunting the process of blooming in our life. You know, that process of working together with God. Seeds are being planted. Seeds are being watered. We work together with God to bring forth the increase. There's a process going on here. And I suspect we could be stunting that growth by focusing on the weeds. You know, we talk about, I mean, even when you see that scripture, It comes off as like a stern warning, like a judgment. God will not be mocked. That a man sows, will he also reap? How many of you ever heard that in a positive way? I mean, usually that comes off as like, oh, you're in trouble. Because you know, God will not be mocked. What you're sowing, you're going to reap, right? Well, wait a minute. What about all the great things that are being sown? What about all the flower seeds? What about all the beautiful, wonderful, blossoming things that God's doing in our lives that are happening in this world, that are happening in our families, that are happening in life, that are happening out there as we look around if we focus on the flowers instead of the weeds? I mean, why couldn't we look at that scripture and say, you know what, guys? God's not going to be, you can't fool God. You can't pull one over on God. Everything that we sow, we're going to reap. But yeah, wow, you know what? I've been speaking words of encouragement to people. I've been stopping and praying for people on the street. I've been learning so many great things, and I've been praying for my friends, and I've been looking at scripture, and God's been showing me stuff. And my kid just made it on the A honor roll, and maybe they didn't, but it doesn't matter because they're doing the best they can, and all these great things are happening, and whatever is sown is going to be reaped. I'm going to have some great harvest in my life. I'm about to really bloom and blossom. This is going to be awesome. Where is that thought process in all of this too many times? I think we need to challenge ourselves. I really do. I think we really have some work to do. I know I do. And I really need to challenge myself. So let's focus on the positive. Let's see the flowers first. And then deal with the weeds. It's a whole lot easier to deal with the weeds if you're focused on the flowers. I found another little essay that I thought was so beautiful, and I thought it was such a great way to kind of wrap this up today. And it really focuses on cooperating with God in the process of blooming, in the process of blossoming, in the process of glowing, in the process of growth. And so I found this little essay, and again, it's just a simple little thing, but I want to read it to you. And It's written in the first person, okay? So this is not me writing this, but this little essay is written in the first person. So it's written in the I, the first person, as if I'm as if the person that wrote it is reading it, okay? But here it is. It says, I visited Matthew, again, first person. I visited Matthew, the owner of Lucy's Flower Shop, a little while back. As I nibbled on an enormous chocolate chip cookie, I began to tell him a story. A few years back, on a bitterly cold December evening, there was a visitation at the funeral home across the street from his bakery. The people bundled up in coats, scarves, and blankets were lined up around the building, waiting to hug the family of the deceased. And suddenly, out of nowhere, a man showed up and began giving away hot coffee to the people outside. People who entered the funeral home with coffee in their hands whispered of a mysterious man handing out free coffee and how much they appreciated it. I looked at Matthew and said, I have a suspicion that you were that man. Am I right? And Matthew very humbly replied, yes. I felt so bad for them, and I wanted to do something, but all I could do was make coffee. So I made coffee. And I responded that he had blessed so many people that night by helping them warm up and showing that there's good in the world. He added a positive note to a devastating situation. I paused, and then I added, that visitation was for my 16-year-old son. Thank you for being so kind. And that conversation has stuck in my head since then. All I could do was make coffee, so I made coffee. And I think, you know, as we think about, well, God, what does blossoming look like in my life? And what does growth look like in my life? And, you know, how can I help you, God, in the process of being a blessing to others and even planting seeds and watering seeds in their lives and then in keeping that cycle going of blooming in my own life? What can I do? And you know what? If all you can do is make coffee, make coffee. But we've all got a coffee. It might not be literal coffee, but we've all got something we can do. What's my coffee today? What's my coffee? What can I do today to encourage someone? What can I do today to make coffee? What can I do today to work together with God to maybe encourage someone else's blossoming and certainly work together with God in the process of my own? So, that's what I'd ask you to leave with today is, what's your coffee? How can you blossom? So, Father, we thank you for your encouragement, God. We thank you, God, that there are so many stages of our lives and we go through. There are so many ups and downs and ins and outs. And so this journey called life is so beautiful, crazy, confusing, but mostly beautiful. God, I just ask that you would just help us to see where we can be an encouragement to ourselves, to one another, to work with you, God, through this process, God, to see the flowers, to be the coffee bearer, to be the lover, Father, to be encouraged ourselves, to feel your love and experience your love and give that away to others. It doesn't have to be a big way. Sometimes the smallest things make the biggest impact. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have prayer, friends. Do we-